Welcome to the Female Photographer Podcast. I'm your host, Maria Eves, and I started this podcast to help uplift and inspire female photographers just like you with a weekly chat to share insights about photography from other women who just get you. Okay, hello. We are here on the Female Photographer Podcast, and today we are talking to Ayla, who I'm so excited to be talking to because Ayla is actually one of my friends who used to live down the road from me, and we used to catch up for great chats and coffees and everything, and our kids would play together, and yeah, I'm so excited to have this chance to chat. Ayla is a corporate brand marketer turned self-taught photographer while navigating motherhood. Now she mixes her love for marketing and photography together in the hope that inspires other women to create careers that are multi-passionate so we can live the lives we want. And I think that is awesome because that is kind of what I want to do as well. So yay, we're in good company. So welcome, Ayla. And did I do a good job of that introduction, or did I totally mess it up?
No, you did awesome. It's so cool to see you doing your thing. And thank you so much for the intro. I really do miss living down the road from you and going for walks on the beach. It was pure bliss, and I actually don't know why we moved.
Such a good place to live.
Yeah, I know. You.
Yeah, so and all the time that we've known each other, which I guess actually isn't a long, long time. I mean, we met in the playground, we bumped into each other and just happened to realize that our husbands knew each other.
You know what, though? I was so proud of myself for making a new friend until I came home and aimed it all about you. And then he was like, yeah, I work with her husband. So I was like, oh, damn it, we're going to be friends anyway.
Yeah, that was so cool. But yeah, the whole time I have known you, I think we haven't really even talked about business and photography like that much. And I think we kind of always wanted to, but I don't know, just, you know, life gets in the way and like you go around to like have a chat or a coffee and constantly like watching the kids and like, oh, what are they doing? And oh, don't do that and you're going to hurt yourself. And
I know, yeah. Boys, they're just crazy.
Oh yeah, totally. So I guess today I kind of just wanted to like talk about your perspective on like, well, your story and your perspective on like how you built your business and how you kind of manage you know, then life gets in the way and you've got kids and you're like, but I still want to run this business and I still want to like follow my dreams and follow my passion. But you're like, oh, there's just days and months sometimes where you're like, I just don't have the energy.
Okay, awesome. So I grew up in like on an island in Rarotonga, which I feel like every Kiwi knows exactly where that is. I was never really that, I guess, academic. I was always very sporty and very artsy. And then when I came to New Zealand and got to high school, it was such a blessing in disguise because as much as I didn't want to move, here had so many other opportunities. And I got like straight into all the arts at school, you know, like excelled at all those, which is really cool. And then I actually went to study graphic design. So not marketing or photography, but I studied graphic design. So I have like a graphic design degree from AUT. You do a photography paper within it, but they taught you studio lighting and it was very structured and it was not something I was very interested in. It wasn't until I left and I started getting into marketing. As a designer, I think people think that you know that avenue as well. And so those were the jobs that I, like as an all-rounder, I guess in New Zealand, it's such a, like that creative industry is very, it's very small and there's a lot of small businesses and they kind of need like a jack of all trades. And so the first job I had, I was doing like a bit of marketing. I was doing graphic design. Then I was just doing sort of basic like office work. The next job I had then added like a photography element into it. And I realized, well, I actually really do enjoy this, which is so funny because I hated it at uni. And then, yeah, the job I then, before I had babies, it was all everything, all in. It was graphic design, it was marketing, it was photography, it was full on. But it kind of really made me realize that you are allowed to be you know, multi-passionate. You're allowed to have all these different things that you really enjoy doing. And then once I had babies, I decided to be a stay-at-home mum. But I get about 8 months in and I get very antsy and I just get a bit bored of the sort of mundane routine. Like, you know, it's beautiful. And I know you're a mum. I'm not going to explain how amazing it is to be at home, but I really felt like I lost myself and I really needed something that I was doing that was for me. And I had just like a really basic point shoot camera. And so I started taking photos of my eldest, at home and just like the things that we were doing. And I really loved capturing us doing things that we did every day and made them feel special, because as a mummy, you really don't get behind the camera, in the photos. You're always taking the photos. And so I set my tripod up and we would just do things like hanging out the washing or like him playing in laundry baskets or, you know, in the dishwasher. And I realized like within my coffee group, a lot of mummies hadn't even thought about getting professional photos done. And so from there, I like offered just little backyard sessions and I'd set it up and they'd come over for, you know, mummy group. And I would have set up a sheet out in our backyard and I would just like quickly rotate mummies as like babies were sleeping and eating. And it was really, really cool. And from there, it just kind of grew. And I have a very crazy, I have boys, like they're very, very boisterous boys. And I loved capturing that, and so that was the target sort of like audience that I was aiming for, was that we don't have to be perfect, you don't have to wear the perfect outfits, or you don't have to have kids that are behaved, you know, we can just capture the things that you love doing, like going to the beach or hanging out in your paddock, or you know, any of those sort of things that you love as a family. And that's the stuff that I really wanted to capture. So I guess if you put it into a a style, it was more documentary style. And I absolutely love that. And then we moved to rural New Zealand and I've had my third baby since then. So we have three babies they are three and under. Absolute chaos in our house. It's just mayhem.
I don't know how you do
another day. I think seriously, like we have days, I think we'd had our littlest for about 10 days and I just came out of the room bawling my eyes out. Mm. And I said to my husband, like, why did we do that? That was just so crazy. You're like, well, it's already happened. We're just gonna have to keep going. Being rural has kind of, I've not been able to do the photography as much as I love, we don't have the support here. We've moved completely away from family, from friends, so it's just my husband and I with three crazy babies. And I sort of started to fall back in love with marketing, and I was able to take a step back and look at sort of all the like awesome mummy photographers that I'd made friends with, but I was able to like look at what we were all doing, and a lot of things that we were doing was we were just copying each other in a lot of ways. And it's just, it was really cool for me to sit back and analyze it a little bit and see that maybe where there were some gaps in the market of like things that I could help with, because I do have like a brand marketing background. So I've started to kind of focus on that a little bit more until we get back on our feet and I can start doing photography again, which would be so exciting, because I look back at all the shoots that I've done and I absolutely loved it. Like I loved meeting all the people and all the families, and I've made such cool friends from it.
So
I think that's pretty much me from, I don't know, 12 to 30.
You became quite popular as a family photographer, right? And you were quite booked.
I loved it. Yeah, I managed to, I was actually very impressed with myself. I tried to do things as I could. Like we had small babies and I tried at least every weekend I'd have sort of two shoots lined up, which was really exciting.
Yeah,
it was so nice to be able to get out of the house after, you know, Monday to Friday 24/7 with babies and just get out and like go meet some people and talk to people and photos at the same time. And I love to pitch my sessions as, you know, we're just hanging out, it's relaxed. I know you're going to be nervous because I also hate getting in front of the camera. It's nerve-wracking having, you know, like a camera right in your face, but just do the things that you do. Like I'll give you some prompts along the way. It's all creative play led, and people would always walk away and they just say that was the easiest thing we've done, and you know, you get awesome photos from it. So yeah, I did. I was very proud of what I was able to build up in such a short space of time.
Yeah, because I think there's a lot of people out there that are like, oh, I'd love to start a photography business, but like, I don't even know where to start. I don't know where to get clients. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I love photography, but how do I get customers? But I guess, like you said, you just like started with people you knew, just took photos for them, took photos of your own kids and like got practice that way. And then I guess, was it just like a lot of word of mouth, or is it just because you're a marketing guru that you think people
I would say a lot of it was word of mouth to start with.
Yeah.
But this is a thing that I've found, which I've really enjoyed stepping back, is I've seen how I did things, and I'm actually really surprised that I was managed to book myself out so, you know, quite regularly, because I wasn't doing any marketing. I didn't have my marketing hat on. Like, I wasn't even, I was really winging it and just hoping that I would throw spaghetti at the wall and something would stick. And I was just, And I think a lot of that was, you know, I had small babies at home. I didn't have a lot of time in my day to do anything. I was also still like doing some marketing consulting on the side. So sometimes, you know, like that took priority over marketing myself, because there was, you know, some cash into the family. Like, so I'm really excited to get started again, because I would love to look at things from a different point of view and really position myself properly.
Yeah. And how did you find at that time when you were like doing lots of like shooting lots of families, how did you find it balancing that and the other bits and pieces you were doing with having the kids, especially like babies?
Small, tiny babies. Yeah. Our family runs on routine. So we are very routine driven. A lot of people would say that's because of the job my husband has, but it really isn't. Like, that's from me. I work really well with having, like, knowing what to expect, and it's worked really well for our family. Like, our kids, they've napped really well. They go down at a certain time. They go to bed at a certain time. I'm not saying it's easier. Like, it was still really hard. And there was days where the editing side was really hard for me. Like, as much as I loved it, the way I did things was, I didn't believe that you should, like, I would give you all the photos that I thought were the best photos of the session. And so I was editing sometimes 200 plus photos for a session. And, you know, the calling. Yeah, it is a lot. It is a lot. But I really stood by that, because I know there's so many other different, you know, models that you can do photography, like galleries and stuff like that with. But I just really looked at it and I was like, if I don't give these photos to them, like, what am I going to do with them? They're just going to sit on a hard drive. So that part was quite challenging. And I just basically, every day was very structured and routine. You know, like, get up, do the morning routine with the kids. They'd go down for their lunch. I'd set up my laptop straight away, wake them up when they needed to be woken up, and then do the afternoon activities with them, go for swims and when we're at the beach. And then as soon as they go to bed, I'd be back on my laptop. So I really needed to have different processes in place, because you're excited, it's your business, and you're so excited to grow, and you're so excited that you've taken these cool photos of families, and you really want to, you know, give it to them as soon as you can. But I probably burnt myself out a bit too much. And now with three kids, that's another reason, like, stepping back, I don't have that sort of time. Like, babies are on different napping schedules, and I still have two of them at home with me, you know, full time. So, yeah, routine helps, but you do need a break. I think that was something I never really gave myself.
Yeah. And what were you doing with the kids? Like, when you were on a shoot, were you like just bringing them with you, or did you have someone to look after them? Or, because I know you were like really busy shooting.
I know. No, there's no way they were coming with me. Before I started doing this, I thought, how cool would it be to come and see like mummy doing stuff? Because at the moment, mummy is just at home. Like, you ask them what they do, and they're like, she just plays with us all day.
Yeah.
And I really did think I would want to bring them along, but a lot of my shoots were at the beach, and I didn't think I'd be able to focus. So my husband just would do afternoon. So I would, as soon as he got home from work, or if it was on the weekend mainly, he would be, he would be full-time parent. Is, you know, he's totally capable. He's such an awesome hands-on dad. And he would, I would just leave it. Say I had a shoot at like 6, I would leave at 4, and he would just take over and do the whole bedtime routine. Which was so such awesome. A thing.
Yeah, so good. And you can be a team like that.
We work really well as a team, which is really cool.
And so tell us about how you pivoted, like, when you had your third baby and you moved. How did you pivot?
I think I'm probably still in like the middle of figuring that out. Like I have a plan in place of how I've done it. I've slowly introduced things in a very like transition like phase where I've talked about things from a photography point of view and slowly bought in some marketing stuff. I would love to do a lot more marketing stuff, but I really don't want to confuse the audience that I have because I feel like it's not a huge following, but I have a really engaged audience.
Yeah.
And if I'm going from photography for, you know, photography, and then also I'm like, okay, this is what I'm talking about now. I think it will just kind of ruin things. No one wants to see like a follow account go down. Not that it matters that much, but yeah, I don't also know who's not following me anymore. Yeah. You know, like it's a real mindset game, but I have talked about it a lot over the last couple of months, I think. And I don't think it's unusual for people to see something like that pop up on my feed at the moment. Well, I hope not anyway. But yeah, a lot of planning. We're also in the process of moving again. So I'm trying to do all that in between it. And I'm really hesitant to like film content in this house that I'm in at the moment because it's not the most aesthetically pleasing house. And so I'm like, I've got a whole list of things that I'm planning on doing when we move eventually. So yeah, I will definitely start pumping things out more once we're a little more settled.
Yeah, you were like superwoman. Like, I honestly sometimes I'm like, how do you do it? Yeah,
we're just nuts. Like, I just think we've done it for so long. It's just, yeah, thank you. But I'm still on the fence whether it's superwoman or just like stupidity.
Or maybe it's just like, you're like, well, we're just gonna go all in. Let's just do it, and we'll figure it out along the way.
Yeah, we're very, very good at like throwing ourselves in the deep end and just being like, cool, can we swim? Not really. We're just going to, you know, like faff around for a bit until we find our feet.
Yeah. And I love doing that sometimes, but then sometimes it's really scary.
It is really scary. Yeah, I know. It is really, really scary. And that unknown is so daunting. But I just think on the other side, like if we kept holding ourselves back from a lot of things, like we wouldn't do anything. We would just stay stagnant. And both my husband and I have just learnt to embrace the fact that we're very similar people, where if we're somewhere for too long, we start like thinking about all these other possibilities and all these other things we could be doing. Yeah. And a lot of the ways it's like really cool because we've done a lot of the things that we, you know, thought and talked about. But then on the other side, it means that, you know, we've moved something crazy. Like I think in the last 8 years, we've moved every like 12 months, sometimes every 18 months. Yeah. So it's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard once you've got kids and stuff, eh? Because I'm like, I think I'm like you. I like the adventure and I like moving to new places, but we're in a good place now where we have an awesome community. Like, you know, you used to live here. And our kids like love their school and love their kindy, and they've got some great friends, and we've got like a good group of friends here, and we live right by the beach, and things are actually going pretty well. And it's like, maybe we should maybe just not mess with that.
I totally, like, honestly, I think this move to like super rural New Zealand, where we're in the middle of absolute nowhere, when we were in, you know, living next to you, we kind of thought, is this it sort of thing? And we were not stuck, but we had it really good, and we've moved away. And I look at photos and I still, every now and then when I look at a photo, I just start crying because it was such an awesome spot. And yeah, I know we're doing really cool things, but I think if we were to move back up to, you know, Auckland, I think we would come straight back there because it's just such a cool little community.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so cool. And going back to like being a mum, building a business, you know, like having three little kids, like what would you say to women that are just like feeling so overwhelmed that they want to like have a successful business, but they just feel like they're in the thick of it with little kids and they just like, where do I even start?
I love that question. That's really, really cool. It's really, really in depth though. I don't even know if I'd be able to answer all of it right now. But the biggest thing I think is that you just have to pick a couple of things that you are gonna do, and like every day is gonna be a little bit different. But say for me, like our house is always a pigsty. Like, our house is just it still blows my mind how quickly the boys can destroy the place in the space of like 10 minutes. So a lot of that is like, I will reset, you know, like at midday, maybe, like if I feel like it needs a reset. But at the end of the day, before we sit down for the night, the house has had a big reset. And I just try not to focus on that throughout the day, because yeah, I otherwise, when it comes to nighttime, I really want to be doing some work. I don't want to be thinking about, yeah, all the things I could have done during the day because I was cleaning instead. So I think for me that, yeah, like you, whatever you're doing, like prioritize that. So if I'm hanging out with the kids, we're doing something fun for them. If I'm doing some work, it's while they're asleep. I don't try to work when they're awake because, yeah, I don't get anything done. I really need to. I'm one of those people that when I sit down for something, I like to know that I've got X amount of time to do it. But when you've got kids running around, they're constantly coming up to you and asking for ice blocks or asking to do something. And, you know, so whatever I'm doing, I try to focus on that one thing. And that seems to have worked really well for me. Like I think that's probably the biggest one is what do they say? You can have clean house, happy kids, or do some work, but you just can't have all three at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. And I got to a point too when I was trying to do, like, I don't know, I got really excited about my business at one point, and I left the Air Force so I could spend more time with Lucas, my youngest, while he was at home before before he starts school. And then I found myself, like, he's watching TV or something and I'm, like, on my laptop. And after, I don't know, a couple months of that maybe, I was like, hang on a minute. I left my full-time job, like, as a photographer, which I actually loved, and a photographer in the Air Force, so that I could spend more time with the kids. And here we are, like, not spending time together. He's watching TV. I'm just on my computer trying to get some work done because I'm really excited about it. And I was like, I had a moment where I was like, okay, we have to stop this because this is not the life I want to live. And I want to be present with my kids. So now I'm like you. I don't do any work when the kids are around, but also I don't want them to just be like, mum's a workaholic and grow up just seeing me on my phone or on my computer all the time. Like, I don't want to model those behaviors.
It's a really hard juggle though, right? Like, I find I'm also very excited. I'll get an idea in my head and I'll go down a rabbit hole and I'm so excited about it and I spent every waking moment doing something or any time that I'm like not with the kids. But then yeah, you do feel guilty. But the biggest thing I think is that the reason I felt like I lost myself in motherhood was because I didn't have any other passions or like hobbies or anything outside of being a stay-at-home mom. And so as much as you want to be present, I also think it's quite important for the kids to see you doing something that you love and showing them that, like, you can do as much as, you know, everything that you want. You just have to prioritize things at certain times.
Totally.
And yeah, I guess we're kind of a big advocate, like, yeah, we get out a lot. Like, our kids don't sit inside. They just aren't inside babies. They're just crazy. Yeah, crazy kids. Like, on the weekend, Harrison was, he's our middle cup kid. They filled the sandpit up with water and it's freezing down here, right? And he's sitting in the sandpit, like, butt naked, having a swim in the pond. And I just thought that is just the most disgusting thing ever. But they were outside and it's cool. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. So when they want to have, when I do need some downtime, and it is often when the two younger ones are asleep, my eldest, if he's home with us, he will watch TV at lunchtime. And that's like my time to do some work, and he knows it as well. But yeah, I just think it's a balance, right? Like, it's every family's different, and what works for them is totally okay. And if it's working for you, then go for gold. Like, you know, we put so much pressure on ourselves of like what everyone else is doing.
Yeah, that's so true. And you just got to do what suits you at the end of the day. At the same time, like, if you're wanting to start a successful business, you just, like you said, you got to just throw spaghetti at the wall, see what works, like, do stuff for free for friends, like, I don't know, like, just get started, and I guess you figure out if something didn't work because you try it, and I'd be like, that didn't work, I'm not doing that again. And then you just build, it sounds like that's how you build up your business anyway. You're like, I'll try this, see if it works, and then, like, just go all in.
I think so. Like, I find if I'm interested in it enough that I'll want to keep pushing at it. I think the thing that probably has stopped me from scaling, though, is not having like a strategy in place and not having like a plan of where I want to go, and understanding that, like, yeah, throwing spaghetti at the wall works for a short term, but like it doesn't work for a long term. Mm. And you have to do things consistently for a decent amount of time to actually see results. I don't know if you know, if you've seen the Girls That Invest, they're like a Kiwi girls, and they do, yeah, investment for females, but they started a podcast. And when they started, they did a whole year worth of podcasts once a week, and no one listened other than their friends. Mm. And then all of a sudden at the 12 month mark, it just skyrocketed. And I keep thinking about that. Like, I saw her speak in real life, and she was awesome and really inspirational. But I think about that a lot, where you really, if you're committed and you really do believe in what you're doing, like, you have to do it for a distance of time before you're going to see results, you know? And that's really hard to like do something and not get the, like, if you're doing it, I think a lot of reasons stay-at-home mummies pick up these kind of side jobs is because they do need to bring money into the business. Mm. Oh, sorry, money into their family.
Yeah.
And yeah, and like that's really hard to be like, I'm sticking at something for a year and it might not bring any money in, but you just kind of have to, you know, sometimes you just have to.
It's hard for your husband or your partner too, right? Because I know, like, my husband is often like, so when are you going to start earning some money? You've been at this for 2 years and yet to see all the dollars flowing in.
You're like, I believe in myself, though, I can do this.
Yeah, you're like, one day I'll get there. But like, I love what you said about, that podcast, that they did it for a year and no one listened, and then all of a sudden happened. Because I remember a story. I love Marie Forleo. She's really inspiring to me, and she has a story like that. Like, she's massively famous now, but she always tells a story of how, like, her first, I don't know if it was a webinar. I think it was a webinar or a live event. Like, it was just like her mum and a friend that turned up to it or something. But she just kept going and going. And like, it's that persistence, right, that is going to get you somewhere. Like, when you just show up, even like if there's just one person there, and it's maybe your mum, I don't know. But you give it all, and, you know, as if it was a room of 100 people. I think it makes a difference.
Exactly. I think it's just practice as well, right? Like, if you can show up and be confident, and it's like practicing, you know, like to talk in front of people. And yeah, if one person's listening and that person has taken something away, then I feel like I've done a really good job. And then, you know, that, I don't know, it is a really tough, like, I think you read all these like multi-millionaire like books and stuff like that, and all these people that make Scheisenhaus and loads of money, and they all talk about mindset, and I was so confused, because I every time I'd sign up for a course or whatever, I'd always skip the mindset part, because I'm like, I don't need that crap, I just need to know how to do what I need to do. But actually, that's like one of the biggest lessons, is that you just need to back yourself and you need to commit. And it's just you might talk to no one for a very long time, or you might do free shoots for a long time, and then hopefully something just clicks. Like, I really do hope that clicks. It's not fun being in that position at all. And I think everyone is at some point, though, in their business.
And I found for me, like, I've pivoted way too much too. Like, oh, that doesn't work, I'll try something else. That doesn't work, I'll try something else. And like, sometimes if, like, you just need to give it a chance, right? Because I know for me, there's a lot of things I haven't really given a chance, and I've been like, that doesn't work, I'm pivoting. But now I'm like, I'm gonna stick to what I'm doing now, because I know that this is going to work. And like, helping female photographers, like, really is what like excites me. And so.
But see, if you hadn't been doing all that stuff though, and all that pivoting, you probably wouldn't have figured out what you really love to do. As much as pivoting can always, like, I don't know, feel like you're just jumping from one thing to another, because I also am really bad at doing that. Like, I feel like I give something X amount of time, and then I'm like, cool, it's not working, I need to do something else. But this year I've like committed to, I've got a plan and I know what I'm doing, and this is what I'm committing to, and I just have to do it. Like, I just have to show up, because I know where I want to go and I know what I want to do at this point, and the only person that's going to make it happen for me is me. Like, I'm the only one who's standing in my own way.
So true. So where to from here?
So from here, in terms of life or business or everything in
between? Everything.
So we are actually moving to Hawaii, which is really, really cool, which is why we left our like cozy community up in Auckland. Yeah, it was a really crazy, very last minute decision. Like, I don't even think you guys knew that we were leaving. Maybe.
Well, like, we were like, why are they moving to rural New Zealand?
they just got here. Yeah, so yeah, my husband got like a really, really cool opportunity, and we were given, like, say it was a Wednesday, he called me at like 11 o'clock and he was like, cool, chat about it tonight. We talked about it that night and he's like, sweet, because we need to make a call by like 9 a.m. tomorrow. I've got a interview with my boss and I need to tell him what I'm doing. So we just decided, like, yep, sure, if it means we've got to move to rural New Zealand for a little bit to get to Hawaii, then like, let's do it. Like, I've always wanted to take the babies back to a tropical island. Like, I grew up there, it's the coolest lifestyle ever. I know Hawaii's different, I've never been, and I'm sure it'll be a lot different to the sort of island that I grew up in, but it's still the same concept, right? Like, it's still beach days, it's still summer, it's still, I don't do the cold, like, I can't do the cold, man. I'm not designed for snow at all. But yeah, so that's what I'm like really looking forward to. And then once we get over there, we've kind of been given some good reassurance that I'll be able to get some visas when I'm there, so I can continue doing what I'm doing. Awesome. Which is a bonus, because it was, yeah, I think it's kind of hit home a little bit that we're getting closer to leaving, that we're like, okay, cool, like, we're gone for 3 years. Does that mean like I'm now not working for another 3 years? Mm-hmm. And how does that work for our family's like financial situation and also for like my sanity? Yeah. But yeah, so that was really, really nice reassurance that we'll be able to look at getting a visa for me that I can work, which will be so exciting. So yeah, I can't wait to do some photography over there and keep pushing some marketing and helping other female photographers, especially female photographers, because we're bloody awesome. Figure out how to market our businesses better. And you know, have a plan and a strategy. Like, we can totally do this. There's enough, you know, enough at the table for everyone, and I'm so excited. Yeah, so excited for the next couple of years.
Yay. Well, I can't wait to see what you end up doing in Hawaii. So excited. I'm so jealous. I want to go to Hawaii, move there.
Well, because you were just in Hawaii, weren't you? Yeah. I saw your photos. It made me very, very excited.
Yeah, I love Hawaii. I love tropical places. So.
Yeah, no, me too.
Yeah, you're going to have to, like, I know, start the day with a surf every day or something.
If we come back and we're not able to surf, I think we've just completely, you know, missed the point of going over there.
I'm going to be very disappointed don't teach me to surf when you come back.
At a Clark's Beach, at a tidal beach, where there's no way.
Well, maybe not at Clark's Beach, but yeah, somewhere else.
No, I definitely will be able to come back. I'm hoping all the kids will pick up swimming lessons and stuff like that as well, you know, figure out how to swim, because at the moment they just float.
Yeah.
not so much swim. Yeah, I'm actually really worried about our middle child though. He's a fair skinned ginger baby and he doesn't do well in the sun, so I'm hoping like the lesser harsh sun there is gonna be okay for him.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Otherwise, he's just going to be head to toe in sunblock.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Ayla. I know everyone will probably want to, like, follow you and, you know, see what you're up to. So where can they find you?
So you can find me at Ayla, A-Y-L-A-H, full stop, O'Neill on Instagram. And then my website is AylaO'Neill.com. Yeah, that's right, aileo.com. Yeah, and I'm hoping to share like a lot of our journey of like going to Hawaii and how that all works and everything. So yeah, I'd love it if you guys followed along, and yeah, just say a hi from me if you heard on this podcast. I'd love to know if you've like listened and yeah, followed away that way.
Yeah, and I hope people do.
Thank you for having me. This is really cool and exciting. I'm so glad I've ticked a really cool thing off my checklist, but with you as well, which is even better.
So cool. And you know what the funny thing is I was actually thinking, who could I get on the podcast? And I was like, actually, it'd be cool to have Ayla on the podcast. And then you messaged me like a couple of days after I had that thought, and I was like, this is just meant to be.
I know, great minds think alike.
Yeah, it's so funny how things happen like that. I'll also link up your Instagram and website and stuff in the show notes, so people can find you that way. And yeah, look forward to seeing what you get up to in Hawaii and keep in touch.
Yes, we will keep in touch. I'm hoping you guys are going to come over and stay with us.
Oh, I would love that. I would love that.
Okay, good. Okay, so as creatives, I find we're really creative in our work and we know how to tell stories and we tell other people's stories. But especially when it comes to content creation, we don't inject our own story into our business. Like, we use our names as our business and then we don't even show up as ourselves. We don't story tell when it comes to like behind the scenes stuff or anything. And I think that there's such like a gap in so many of the photographers that I follow to actually start storytelling with their content and use that as like a creative outlet just as much as being a photographer is a creative outlet for them.
It's just
stepping back, like that's what I've really noticed. And I think it's quite hard nowadays because especially if you're new into it, you're comparing yourself to photographers who have been on platforms for 10 plus years. And 10 years ago was a lot different to it as now. And 10 years ago, the reach was so much easier because there wasn't as many people online and they just had static posts and they were still managing to like rake up. I don't even know if the word's right, but you know, they still managed to get like 10,000 plus followers and like booking out and everything. And now we've got Reels, which is really cool, or, you know, TikTok and YouTube. And there's so many cool ways that we can reach other people, but we're just not doing the storytelling part in our own content creation.
Yeah. Everyone's like focused on like, how can I actually get my content seen? Well, I guess rather than maybe like how they can tell the story.
I think a big thing is that we've got our website, which is people are using as a portfolio for starters, which, you know, it's a sales page as well. And then they're using their Instagram or their platforms just as like another portfolio spot. And you're not injecting your own personality into anything, and you're not showing people who you are. And then what happens is people are just going to go through multiple photographers and you're just in a price game at the moment, you know, like people are like, well, this person's cheaper and this person's cheaper, rather than being like, I also have crazy babies and I would love for you to just like run around the beach with us doing things that we do and like been a person, or like I'm a homeschooling mum and that's something I'm really passionate about. There's a whole community of homeschooling mums who I'm sure would love to connect with a photographer who does homeschooling, because it's like a point that you can talk about the shoots and it's like a little more relaxing and you're like, I know you're my person, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's so true. And I'm so guilty of like with my landscape photography being like, but it looks like a beautiful gallery and I don't want to mess it up.
I totally get that. Like, I think, yeah, I was also the same. Like, if I scroll down when I was doing so many shoots, I had like my editing nailed. I had the color scheme. I was like, oh, this looks so perfect. And it is really cool. But realistically, what you're showing is like, there's only a certain type of audience. You know, when you're talking about like your buyer types, there's that kind of feed only really applies to one buyer type. And you're then missing out on talking to so many other people. I don't know. I guess nowadays you've got your real covers, so you can still have like a really cool photo on the top that makes your, you know, feed look really nice. But
that's a good point.
The reels and more about you and like more the behind the scenes kind of stuff, or like a little bit about what you're doing in your day and the things that like your content themes that you really love to talk about and people know you for. I think that's something that's really, really missing within a lot of the photographers that I kind of follow and see. Whether that's true or not, that's just kind of my like little analysis since I've like stepped back and noticed it. So when I start getting back into photography, that's the kind of stuff that I really want to build up and do, and hopefully like be able to teach other photographers that there is another way to market your business. Like the reason you're online is because you're here to promote and market your business, yet no one talks about promotion. No one talks about, hey, I've got like a, in their stories, they might mention that they've got minis coming up, but there's nothing on their feed that talks about that. There's no like build up. It's just a one-time post on their story that disappears in 24 hours. It's like you're too scared to talk about sales and too scared to talk about promotion. But at the end of the day, like you're online to make money from your passion. Yeah. And that you should be okay with that. Like people understand that it's a service. People are exchanging money, you know, for really cool photos of their family that they're going to cherish forever.
Yeah, that's so cool. Okay, I'll stop recording now again.
Okay. That was like my fart.